The book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 3. Let us read from the beginning of this chapter, 12 verses. Moreover, he said unto me, that's the Lord speaking to Ezekiel the prophet, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of an hard language, but to the house of Israel, not to many people of a strange speech and of an hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint, have I made thy forehead. Fear not them, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears. And go, get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. This is the part of the chapter 3 I wanted us to read, and now can we take a moment for prayer to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy safekeeping of our souls, thy protection, faithful watch over us in the past night, and for bringing us together this morning, Lord, around thy holy word. We remember today, O Father, that when our Lord and Savior was upon the face of this earth, he did multiply the loaves of bread and fish, and he did feed thousands of people. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we remember that thou hast done wonderful things in the days of famine in the land of Canaan, and through the prophet Elijah thou hast multiplied the food for that widow woman and her son, and for thy prophet in Sarepta of the Zidonians. We remember, Lord, that thou hast done similar thing through the prophet Elisha, multiplying food to the poor in thy people. And we also remember, O Father, that the children of Israel in the wilderness did ask for meat, and while the food was yet in their teeth, the plague started. Gracious Lord Almighty God, we pray today, thou multiply this bread of life to us, and thou reveal to us the meaning of the message to and through the prophet Ezekiel. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, thou touch our hearts and bless us with that godly attitude that we desire the food that thou art providing for us, and that we receive that spiritual nourishment with reverence and godly respect and with deep gratitude. Thou, O Heavenly Father, open our hearts as thou didst spread the scroll before the eyes of the prophet Ezekiel. And thou, O Lord, write in the message of thy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ our Savior. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, give us grace and power, we pray. Grant us wisdom and understanding, O Lord, that we would not seek the food poisoned by the teaching of the enemy, that we would not be lusting for the sinful pleasures, false security, deceitful comfort, and false promises. Grant us, O Heavenly Father, that we seek after thy kingdom and thy righteousness, and that we be thirsty and hungry of this green pasture that thou hast prepared for thy flock, and the fountain of living water, as thou hast revealed to us in Christ Jesus our Lord, that to us he is the truth and the life and the resurrection. And there is no other name given to the mankind, no, not in heaven nor in earth. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, make us true worshippers of thy name, sincere and faithful followers of the Lord Jesus. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we pray for this blessing. We pray for thy goodness and grace to be multiplied to all thy children, to the few as we are gathered here, and all the others in every place where two or three are gathered in thy name. May thy spirit be among thy people, bless each heart, enrich and encourage every soul. But especially, Lord, we pray for those that are in struggles. Give them thy victory. Gracious Lord Almighty God, we pray especially for those that are alone, that thou grant them the most precious company, the fellowship in the Spirit of Christ. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that in these last days thou wouldst heal the sick, comfort the sad, strengthen the weak, raise the dead, deliver the captives, and give to every soul that thou hast delivered liberty in Christ Jesus. Make us free from the slavery to sin and the world, in any form, even the most hidden and deceitful. And may the light of thy revelation enlighten our minds and fill our hearts, that thy Spirit may dwell in us and keep within us that loving lordship of thine, making us sincere and faithful, beloved and lovable, loving and understanding children of the covenant sealed by the blood of the precious Lamb of God. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we do pray for that victory, victory over sin and death, world and Satan, victory to bear the cross, power to suffer patiently, revelation to receive the comfort and peace and joy in thy Spirit. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, blessed be thy name. Glory and honor belong unto thee, O Lord. Open our eyes to see thy glory. Open our ears to hear the voice of thy Spirit. Strengthen our arms in the deeds of charity, and our feet on the path of righteousness in the fellowship of the redeemed ones. And thou, O Heavenly Father, keep the door of salvation open until the last of the redeemed ones will enter in. For thou art God of love and mercy, God of the everlasting covenant. Thou art, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, abundant in grace, patience and loving kindness, righteous in judgments and just in thy decisions. Gracious Lord, exalt the name of Christ, we pray. Glorify thy Son, and give us the blessing and the delight of magnifying thy goodness and grace and rejoicing in thee. For truly thou wilt make the end of sin and woe, and the glory and majesty of thy holy name fills the universe forever. Amen. The prophet Ezekiel in chapter 3 is listening to the voice of the Lord. He is addressed to be the Son of Man, and yet the Son of Man to whom the Almighty God is speaking. So in a way, he belonged to the mankind, but in a special way, he is separated for the will of the Lord. And the Lord says to him, eat that thou findest, eat what you see given to you from me. Eat this roll, this book, this message, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So the prophet, in that vision, in that revelation, opened his mouth and the scroll was fed into his mouth. But then in the verse number 3, another request, another commandment, but of the same kind. He said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat. Don't just chew and keep it in your mouth. Swallow. Get it in. And fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. And then he says, then I did eat it. In the verse number 2, I opened my mouth. And the book somehow was squeezed into my mouth. But then, in the verse number 3, the second part, he says, then I did eat it. We need that urge, don't we? We need to hear the voice of the Lord, to sense how important it is for us to digest the Word of God. And I hope not to be boring, because last time we read some of that, and I talked a little bit about that, but the Lord is repeating that. And so I'm repeating too. But then, the last line of the verse number 3 is telling, the book was as sweet as honey in his mouth. He felt the taste. It was sweet. Turn just quickly to the last 2 verses of the chapter 2. As he looked into the book, and in the verse number 10, it was spread open before him, and it was written within and without. The Word of God is twofold, or the Word of God has a balance. It's not only the judgment, but also mercy. It's not only the mercy, but also the judgment. The whole gospel. And also, the Word of God is telling a message to those that obey and a message to those that disobey. And then, as he looked into the book, there was written lamentations and mourning and woe. Terrible things. Why would anyone have to tell that kind of a message to anyone else? Are we not supposed to be just gentle and kind and careful not to offend anyone and just go along with anything? Not at all. The Lord said that he did not bring that kind of a peace of compromising good and evil and mixing clean, pure and unclean and so on, but to separate with his calling. Separating, taking apart the prophet Ezekiel, just as the Lord Jesus told us that we should be, not saying word by word, but the meaning, a special people to him. Those that believe will not be afraid of death, will not be frightened away by suffering, will not be drawn away by the lusts and the pleasures of the world. They will know that even though in the Word of God there are words and important message of lamentation, mourning and woe, there is also delightful message of the Lord's grace and salvation. The prophet did chew and did swallow. And the Lord said unto him, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of an hard language, but to those of Israel, not to many people of a strange speech and of an hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. We could raise a lot of questions here. We would do even better if we just receive it from the Lord and go on. But to the house of Israel, the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. Why then? Why all the trouble of going there, conflicting with them, confronting them, being rejected, persecuted, abused? But the Lord says, go, I send you. I think I mentioned last Sunday, that the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, I send you as sheep among wolves. And by that, I believe the Lord said, of your own strength and power you can do nothing. What can a sheep do among wolves? Some of us here might be familiar with the nature and characteristics, if I may say that way, of the wolves, that even one of those beasts can do a lot of damage to a whole flock, let alone many of them. And the Lord sent his disciples 2 and 2. And there were many wolves around. But the Lord is indicating here to his disciples and to the prophet here and to us as we read and desire to understand the word of God that it's not our power. It's only our surrender to him, our willingness to live in Christ and to die for Christ. And then he will do the rest. Probably thousands of his disciples were willing to die a martyr's death. Maybe hundreds of them did. But it was not given to everyone. And yet, everyone was expected and encouraged to be ready. Ready to speak, ready to be quiet. Ready to suffer, and ready, willing to enjoy comfort and peace. To give our life to him, and to accept, to desire, and to pursue his will for us. Here we read that all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted, unpenitent, disobedient, rebellious. And to such the Lord is sending his prophet. Why? As we read, we'll probably sense the answer and the purpose of this. The Lord says, I have armed you, Ezekiel. I give you a strong face against their faces. Thy forehead strong against their forehead. Being together two hard stones, one against the other. It hurts. It's not an easy thing. It's not a pleasure to be rejected, to be hated, because you are telling the message of love and peace, inviting them to repent and to receive the grace of God. It's a rebellious house. Do not be thou dismayed at their looks. That's second part of verse 9. Though they be a rebellious house. Did we sometimes sense that dismay? When we are surrounded with the people that do not believe the word of God and yet they have big mouth and strong voice, talk nonsense and offenses and blasphemies. As we watch the Lord Jesus suffering in the palace of the high priest, peacefully, quietly, calmly, speaking only when he knows it's proper to speak and then being quiet. Remember Peter? Defending himself, they said, you are one of those. And he said, no way. He swore and he cursed. He tried hard, and the more he tried, the more they suspected him. And he was almost like a fly in a spider's web, entangling here more and more. It was a crash. The Lord Jesus gave a different example. He is just quietly, peacefully suffering, knowing this is the will of the Father. An offering to the will of the Father. In the verse number 10, another urgent message or short speech of the Lord. Moreover, the Lord said unto the prophet Ezekiel, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thy heart, and hear with thine ears. The Lord Jesus Christ was not teaching the people as the scribes, as the Pharisees, as the priests, whose heart was not in the word of God, and the word of God was not in their heart. They were speaking, but not obeying. But here, the Lord is saying to the prophet Ezekiel, All the word that I speak unto thee, receive first in thine heart, and hear them with thine ears, not through the ears of the others. Remember the prophet from the land of Judah going to the land of Israel? It was in Bethel where Jeroboam, the rebellious king, was offering a sacrifice to the Lord calf, an animal. It might have been a very cute animal, but it's an animal. It has nothing to do with the Almighty God. The prophet from the land of Judah let Jeroboam hear. Thus saith the Lord. The new king initiated that idolatry so that the people would not go to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. And Jeroboam was offering incense to this idol when the people were there and it was a solemn festivity and so on. And the prophet of the land of Judah came to the door of that or to the place where they were together. And he shouted, Altar, O altar, thus saith the Lord, there will be born a son to the house of Judah that will slay the priests of thy high places, and he will burn the bones of thy daughter's priests on this altar. And the king Jeroboam turned and said, get hold of him. The king stretched his hands to point to this intruder that dared to challenge his majesty, the new king. And the king Jeroboam was not able to let his arm, his hand down, because it was withered. It was paralyzed in that position as he stretched it up. And then he was frightened and he pleaded with the prophet, pray to the Lord thy God to heal my hand. And the prophet did. Then Jeroboam said, come to my house and I will honor thee and make thee a feast and this and that. And the prophet said, God forbid, I won't do that, because God has commanded me, in that land thou shalt not eat, thou shalt not stay, thou shalt not delay, rush back. And so he turned away and went his way. But he got a little bit tired and rested under a tree. In the meantime, the people that were with the king Jeroboam went to their homes, and there were some young people that went to their home, and their father was an old prophet, whatever that means. What does that mean, the old prophet? Probably, way back before the division of the kingdom, this old prophet was one of the Lord's prophets. But then after the dividing of the kingdom, he became a false prophet. They left, they forsook the Lord, and they were worshipping idols. When this old prophet's sons told him what happened, he said, so where is this man from the land of Judah? And they told him, he went that way. And this prophet rushed after the Lord's prophet and found him resting under the tree. But that was not the commandment of the Lord. The prophet from the land of Judah was not commanded to rest, but to rush back. But it was so enjoyable, I believe, to rest a little bit. And so this old prophet said to the prophet of the Lord, come with me and be my guest. And the prophet from the land of Judah said, no, I cannot do that, for the Lord has commanded me not to eat bread and not to delay my return, but just to rush back to the land of Judah. And this old prophet said, oh, I'm also a prophet. And an angel of the Lord spake unto me and said, go and invite him. And this prophet from the land of Judah agreed. Now you see what's going on? He is hearing the word of God, between quotations, through the ears of another man. And that's what the Lord is telling to the prophet Ezekiel. Hear my word with thine own ears. Don't take any false interpretations. Don't let anyone else know the word of God and tell you what the word of God is, and you don't know it, but you trust that man. Now, let's stop and think for a moment. When we hear the word of God first time, in the beginning, how do we hear it? Through some people. Remember the case in Samaria. The Lord at the well of Jacob talking to a Samaritan woman, and then after that conversation, the woman ran to the city or to the town, wherever she lived, and she just proclaimed to all the people, come and see a man that told me all that I have done, all the secrets. Isn't this the Messiah? And the people got stirred up and they run and they come to the well and they listen to the teaching of our Lord Jesus. Then they turn to the woman and said, now we believe, not only because of your own words, but because we have heard the Lord Jesus with our own ears. And we can hear also or read in the Acts of the Apostles, Apostle Paul preaching in one place, and the word of God is telling us, these people were more noble than the others because they listened to the teaching of Paul, and every day they checked to hear the word of God with our own ears, to have that authentic, genuine belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, to digest that, to have it in our heart, before we can speak and share with the others. And then after that, go get thee to them, to the people in captivity, the children of thy people, and speak unto them and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Just tell them what the word of God is. Do not add, do not diminish, nor take away any part, the whole gospel. So what is the gospel? What is the whole word of God? Can we, in one account, in one encounter, as we meet another person, can we just recite the whole gospel to them? Let's say, which one is the shortest, Mark or John? I think Mark is the shortest. At the beginning of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, John the Baptist appeared, and he just goes on and on and on. No, I don't think so. I don't think that would be possible. But I think there is a balance of proclaiming the gospel as the apostles did, and that is revelation of God on one side, ignorance of the people on the other side, holiness of God on the right-hand side, and the sinfulness of the people on the left-hand side, the invitation, the answer, the commandments of the Lord, the obedience of those that believe, suffering on this earth, eternal joy, and so on, threats from the world, struggles from within, and yet the comfort of the Spirit of the Lord, and so on. It's very offensive to the Lord and to the Spirit of our Savior when we talk about goodness and grace of God to the people that do not care for the Word of God. Tell them God loves you, and God will bless you, and God will do this. Well, first of all, it's a lie. It's not true that the Lord will bless sinners in their sin because of their sin. He will, and He is blessing the whole world. Just the fact that we are allowed to live, even though we are living in sin, and we are given time to repent and turn to the Lord, yes, that is a sign of God's love and patience and so on. But it's not because of our sin. It's in spite. It's important to tell the people that sin is sinful. It's very important to tell the people that the sacrifice of the Lord is because sin is awfully sinful. The Lord is sending the prophet, and the prophet obeyed. He opened his mouth, he received the word of God, and then he swallowed the word of God, and then he heard the word of God with his ears, very expressed in words, and then he retained the word of God in his heart, and he realized that even though there is so much of the human tragedy in all its ugliness presented in the word of God, there is also the beauty of holiness, the beauty and the warm, fervent love and compassion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful redemption. It's a glorious salvation and so on. So it's sweet like honey. And so in the verse number 12, the Spirit lifted him up, and he was followed by a voice of great rushing, saying, "Blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place." He is now filled with the power of the Spirit of God to proclaim the gospel. Isn't that similar to what happened to the apostles on the day of Pentecost? There was heard the noise like the rushing of a mighty wind, and they were all filled with the Spirit, and there were signs of the Spirit, and there were signs of the activity, power of the Spirit. They started speaking in different languages. I will not step aside to elaborate more on the languages, even though it's very, very captivating to think and talk about that, and just to try to perceive, understand how did that happen. 120 people speaking in different languages, some 14, 16, how many languages, and how did they organize that? I heard opinions that perhaps the people were mixed and everyone was hearing his own language, even though the person speaking might have been speaking in Jewish language. I have some different perception or misunderstanding. I think that they were sorted, and each one among the people was hearing the noise and went in the direction of his own language. So they would just go wherever they heard their language. But perhaps it remains a mystery. We don't know exactly. We are not given all the details. I noticed that among the people they talked, and some of them say, "How do we hear each one in our own language?" So obviously they realized that's another language. Each one could hear not only his language, but the other languages. Whatever that was, it was a great miracle. The Lord did something majestic. Prevailing against the wickedness of men that caused diversities of languages as they were building the Tower of Babel after the flood. So, back to this place. He also heard the noise of the wings of the living creatures, the cherubim, that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and the noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness. I'm not quite sure if this is the most correct translation, and I didn't take time to look and compare other versions and other translations, especially other languages. I would think that this is perhaps that he went in the fervor, in the zeal, in the heart, in the heat of his spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. He sensed the power of the Lord working in him and now through him. So he came to them of the captivity at Tel Aviv that dwelt by the river of Kibar, and he sat where they sat. He just joined them physically and remained there astonished among them 7 days. Do you remember Job and his three friends? As they came, I think they also were sitting there 7 days, not speaking. They were astonished with the suffering of Job. It was such a strong impact on their mind and heart that they couldn't speak. But then after that, they started speaking their own words instead of the word of God. With Ezekiel, it's the other way around. He was astonished with their condition, their situation, their corruption, their alienation from the Lord. It came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, unto Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. Ezekiel, do not be like these corrupted people. They hear the word from one another and they keep repeating what their leaders and teachers tell them, and they just follow without understanding. But thou, Ezekiel, hear the word at my mouth, the mouth of the Lord, directly from the Lord, and give them warning from me. This is verse 17. When I say unto the wicked, now here is the gospel. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. Isn't that what John the Baptist was preaching? The axe is laid at the root of every tree. And the tree that is not bearing good fruit is going to be hewn down and cast into the fire. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. What is the Lord saying to Ezekiel? Well, obviously he is saying what he is saying. But the side meaning, I could say, is, Ezekiel, it's not exactly your business, nor your main concern, whether the others will obey the word of God. No. You obey, and you proclaim the message that I give you, and leave that to them. If they will obey the word of God, good for them. If they will not obey the word of God, good for you that you obeyed. Do not depend on them. Do not be tightly bound to them. You be joined to the word of God and keep the word of God. Verse 19. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. What did Paul the apostle say? The dispensation of the gospel is delivered unto me. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Just think about that. If someone would compel you, if that would be possible, just an example, just a thought. If someone would compel you not to live a godly life from this time on, just join us and go with us and enjoy sin, how would you feel? I think it would be an awful experience. Unacceptable, impossible, a terrible situation. We receive the deliverance of the Lord through our submission and obedience to His word. We receive the joy of the Lord through our zeal for the Lord. We receive the comfort from the Lord through our endurance. Obey. Trust and obey. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. His blood will I require thine hand. Ezekiel, I told you to warn him, and you did not. You disobeyed the word of God. You are responsible for his death, for his blood. Is he responsible? Yes, he is. But the witness, the watchman, the prophet is responsible also. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned, and thou hast delivered thy soul. Notice the style, the way the Lord is working. Let me repeat that, verse 21. If thou warn the righteous man, that the righteous man sin not. Now how can a righteous man sin? Is he righteous when he is sinning? Righteous people fall into sin from time to time. They stumble, they step aside, they go astray, and so on. Many did. Solomon said, there is no man that sinneth not. And he surely proved it abundantly in his own life. Here we read, if thou warn the righteous man, that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he quit sinning, he turned away from his sin, he repented and he turned to the Lord, he shall surely live, not because of his righteousness, but because of the word of God, because he is warned, because the word of God has been told to him, because of the grace of God. Our repentance does not redeem us. Our repentance is a clear indication, providing it's a real repentance. It's a clear indication that we are receiving the mercy of the Lord, that we are obeying the word of God. But also, thou, Ezekiel, being the witness, obeying the Lord and proclaiming the message of the word of God, thou hast delivered thy soul. How? By that same word, by obedience to the Lord. And the hand of the Lord was there upon Ezekiel. And the Lord said unto the prophet, arise, go forth into the plain, and I will there talk with thee. Then Ezekiel arose and went forth into the plain. And behold, the glory of the Lord stood there as the glory which I saw by the river Kibar, and I fell on my face. Then the Spirit entered into me. We see how the glory of the Lord is being revealed to the prophet Ezekiel on and on. Remember Moses? He was a great prophet of the Lord, and he had a very enormous, big task, assignment from the Lord, and he got tired also. Remember the prophet Elijah, in an awful, terrible time, witnessing for the Lord, he also was tired. And Moses, when he was tired, he said, Lord, show me, reveal me thy glory. It's necessary, very needful for every faithful prophet of the Lord, for every faithful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, to know the glory of the Lord. I would like to encourage every one of us and every believer to seek that, to ask the Lord, Lord, reveal thy glory to me. Give me the grace to see the meaning of my service, my ministry, to see the value of the message of the Lord, to see the majesty of the Lord revealed in the face and testimony of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Imagine the Lord of glory and majesty hanging on the cross. Imagine the Almighty Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting One, being spat upon, slapped, mocked, tortured. Peter was dismayed and crushed by observing that. He had no strength of his own to follow that suffering Savior. But then later on he received that grace. Later on Peter was tiny, small Peter. And in that small, weak human being, the mighty power of the Lamb of God was revealed. All the power of prayer and patient long suffering. But we need to know the value of that. It's necessary for us to sense the glory of the Lord in all that He is doing. It's wonderful to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that Anna, the prophetess, that came into the temple of the Lord when the child Jesus was brought in by the mother Mary and the caretaker Joseph. This prophetess, we read about her, that she spent her long life, many, many years, in practically not doing much else but praying and fasting. Prayers and abstinence from the pleasures of this life was her ministry. And among all those that were highly educated, priests and scribes and Pharisees, famous teachers of the law and so on, there is this one Anna that came to proclaim and tell to many people in Jerusalem, this is the Savior that has been born in Bethlehem. This is the child, the only one given to the mankind unto salvation. The others, so many of them, were unaware of that. She had a glorious ministry, but we need to realize the glory of the Lord, to have that sense, to see the Lord walking ahead of us, guiding us, protecting us, to know the glory and majesty, to magnify His goodness and His mercy, to magnify His greatness, the grandeur of His power. How do we magnify? What does that mean, magnify? Make it greater than it is? No. Making ourselves and the others more aware of His enormous, measureless grandeur. We read here in verse number 24, as he fell down on his face, he worshipped the Lord. And then the Spirit entered into him and set him upon his feet and spake with him and said unto him, go, shut thyself within thine house. But thou, O son of man, behold, look at this. They shall put bands upon thee and shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out among them. And I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, that thou shalt be dumb, quiet, speechless, and shalt not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ also was quiet. When they tortured him, and they asked quite a few questions, he did not answer to every question. But what he did answer, it was the word of God. And then in the verse 27 here we read, but when I speak unto thee, when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, he that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house. You know, it might be easier for us as we proclaim the gospel of the Lord with deeds and words, if we could expect somebody to believe, if we could believe that somebody will believe, and then we're just expecting, waiting, looking, and perhaps speaking to everyone we get an opportunity to speak, hoping that someday somebody might believe. Yes, someday somebody might believe. But it's also possible that no one will believe. It's possible that each one of us will remain one alone or two or three alone. But that's secondary. As sad, as awful as that can be, that the people will stubbornly pursue the way of unrighteousness and their self-destruction and their doom, it's terrible. But it's wonderful that me and you, just as corrupted and just as sinful as the others, He has picked out and given us the grace to hear and understand the word of God and to obey. In the word of God there is lamentation and woe, but there is also the sweetness like honey. They are rebellious house, but he that heareth, let him hear. And so it is today. Some will hear and many will forbear, reject. And yet it is glory just to walk with Him. Just to obey, just to follow. It is glorious to be the beggar Lazarus, dying of sickness and starvation. And it's awful to be the rich man feasting every day until that moment when he woke up in torment. Oh, he was buried. He probably had a very, very luxurious funeral, but he didn't see it. It was only his remains that were honored, and probably honored because of the hope that some of his wealth will be given to the mourners. Lazarus died. What happened to his body? Immaterial. The Lord did not even mention. Was he buried? Hopefully so. In what way? Doesn't matter. But what does matter? What is important? The angels took him and carried him to a wonderful place. May the Lord give us more and more of the understanding of His Word and that blessedness of obeying and walking with Him with that awareness, even the shame in this world, for the name of Christ is very, very glorious.